House File 2811, to be laid over for possible inclusion in the Omnibus Game and Fish Bill. Representative Coonan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. House File 2811, what it does is allows county boards by resolution to offer a bounty for coyotes. The bounty may apply to the whole county or any part of the county. The county board will set the amount of the bounty and the months that it will be paid. The cost of the bounty will be paid by the counties, and there's no cost to the state of Minnesota. I have with me Chippewa County Commissioner Jeffrey Lopez, and he will speak to the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Welcome, Mr. Lopez.
Good afternoon. A lot of my being a county commissioner, I'm hearing from Chippewa County as along follows the Minnesota River Valley. And along that valley is excellent habitat at various times of year for the coyote population. We're having reports from our farmers that pasture and raise livestock on pasture and grassland, that they're losing animals. This involves sheep, people that are raising swine out in open ranged swine, and during the calving season, we're noticing a lot of loss along those areas, and we're having requests from our constituents out there in Chippewa County that we would try to get a bounty put out there so that the it would increase the activity in trying to control the coyote population. 12, 15 years ago, you never seen a coyote in Chippewa County. I'm a farmer besides being county commissioner. You never seen them. Now it's not uncommon to find sightings of coyotes. So in the last 12, 15 years, the population and the presence of them has greatly expanded.
You may have any questions for Mr. Lopez?
Do you have any, Mr. Lopez, you have any numbers on the number of livestock, amount of livestock been destroyed from coyotes?
We have some sheep producers down there that along the river valley that lamb out on pasture and this and that, and it's not uncommon for them to lose a couple head a year per farmer when they're during the lambing time when the ewes can't protect the babies. Also, we have livestock farmers that pasture feral and raise organic, natural swine production. They farrow on grass and the piglets are out there the entire time. And the animals are protected from straying outside the pastures by high tensile electric fence. But the coyotes just go in underneath that fence line or burrow under the electric fence, come in and take what they need and leave. And it's creating a hardship on those types of, on those farmers that are farrowing into pasture, because they only get two farrowings a year, one in the spring and one in the fall, where production agriculture, they can also farrow in the wintertime. So it's taking away, it's causing an economic hardship for these farmers and ranchers that utilize pasture management.
Okay. How is the county going to pay for it?
Our proposal, the program. Chippewa County's proposals, we would take that out of the general fund as the source of revenue for that. We have a bounty on our beaver, and typically speaking, if we have a problem with beaver damming up an ag drainage ditch or some other water course or whatever, we'll put a call out to trappers in the area and private residents that do this, and then they register, yes, I'll go after that beaver, and so they pre-register, and then if they're successful, they bring those feed in. We enacted that about 7 years ago. Prior to having the trappers and the people that shoot the beaver pre-register, we felt that we were getting beaver in from outside of Chippewa County, and when we enacted the pre-registration before the hunt or the trapping, now we feel that we're getting beaver that are basically in Chippewa County. So general revenue and pre-registration is what we're proposing in Chippewa County before we would pay out a bounty.
Okay, and do you have an estimate of what you might pay out in bounty, and how much do you pay for a coyote? I'm proposing to pay.
The county board has discussed anything from $5 to $25, and we're probably going to end up much like with beaver at probably $25 for a pair of feet or something like this here. And we could estimate that to be up around, say, that $2,000 a year figure.
Okay, anyone have any questions of Mr. Lopez? Mr. Bogus, can you come down to tell us what... thank you very much, Mr. Lopez. Okay. Welcome, Mr. Bogus. What's the department got to say about this bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Ed Bogus, Deputy Director of Fish and Wildlife for the Department of Natural Resources. And you know, if it's going to be locally funded, I guess that puts it in a little bit different position. But just overall on the issue of bounties, bounties were a very common practice in the 1800s and early 1900s. In Minnesota, other than like gopher bounties, all the predator bounties were eliminated in 1965. And the reason was that they were very expensive. They really weren't controlling the populations of the animals that they were intending to control. I think the intent was good, but they really weren't. You know, coyotes in particular are very, very versatile animal, and they can reproduce. And like them or not, there's a sustainable population of coyotes almost no matter what you throw at them. And if you get particularly a patchwork of jurisdictions paying bounties and others not paying bounties, then coyotes tend to start migrating from one jurisdiction to another, even after they've been shot and bounties being paid. And they just were not effective at really controlling the population of coyotes. Or if the intent is to protect livestock, you're much better off removing the coyotes at the time that they're preying on the livestock in the spring, and late summer is when the peak of that occurs. And most of the coyote bounties that are paid out, or historically that have been paid out, come this time of year, fall, winter, when the fur is good, and not really from the time of year that the livestock producer could really use the help with taking the coyotes. I know the intent of this bill is more directed at the livestock concerns, but there's also concerns of ground nesting birds, ducks, and pheasants in particular, which actually have higher nest success in a coyote-dominated predator community than they do in a fox-dominated community. That's because the foxes tend to have a relatively small home range of just a few square miles, and they search it very, very thoroughly for nests and hens and eggs and whatever else they can find, whereas coyotes tend to have a 15 to 20 square mile range. They're keyed in on a little bit bigger animals, rabbit size primarily. They'll eat mice, they'll eat birds, but they're more keyed in on the mammals, and they also will kill fox or chase fox out of areas. And so you actually have better conditions for wildlife nesting with coyotes around than you do with fox. So you know, across the country, bounties have pretty much been eliminated on predators in the last 50 years, and we just, I guess, would like the committee to know that even though a bounty seems like a good idea, we know the county commissioner spoke about coyotes increasing in the Minnesota River Valley. They certainly have with increased CRP more grassland has been very beneficial to coyotes. It has favored that coyote-dominated predator community over the fox-dominated community, so we're seeing more coyotes in the state, but we really question if a bounty is the right approach to try to manage the problems.
Mr. Boggess, when can you take a coyote today?
Mr. Chair, under Minnesota law, coyotes are classified as an unprotected wild animal, and they can be taken at any time of the year in any number.
Representative Thaler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this actually is a question for the author of the bill, if you want to entertain it at this time. What is the position of AMC? What do other counties in the area of your county think, and what do they say about it?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Thaler, I can answer the question for counties in the area. The AMC, I'm not sure. Maybe Commissioner Lopez knows the answer to that. But the counties in the area, I know Yellow Medicine County is interested in this. Swift County, although they haven't talked to me this year about it, in the past they've been interested in it. So in that area, there's at least those three counties that I know of that are interested. And the AMC question again, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if you want to ask Commissioner Lopez that question there.
So if the bill were to become law and they enacted a resolution and then they found later that they didn't have any practical effect on the coyote numbers in your county, they could undo the resolution and go back to the open unprotected status. Will still be unprotected status even though there was a resolution paying a bounty, but the county, if after a trial period that at their own trial making could decide to send the resolution in the bounty, and we would have changed nothing. So basically, this is nothing more than an enabling a piece of legislation. It's not something that we're making any kind of a mandate, and they could take it or leave it. If the bill passes, they don't have to pass a resolution. If the bill passes, they could pass a resolution. If the bill passes and some other time they decide to undo the resolution that created the bounty, they could do that.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. That's exactly what the bill does. There's no mandates for anybody in here. It just allows counties to establish a bounty. They can start them at any time, end them at any time. They set the amount, and they don't even have to cover the entire county if they don't want to. It can be just be part of the county. It gives the counties the ability to work on managing the coyote population within the counties.
Hey, why don't we have Mr. Vargas, you can hang tight there. We'll have Mr. Peterson come down, tell us what he's got on his mind, and then we'll field any last questions. Mr. Lopez.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
I just wanted to make sure they knew who was on the tape. Remember, you're being tape recorded.
Okay.
This isn't like the Nixon tapes. We keep all 18 minutes of it. Go ahead, Mr. Lopez.
We are just asking for a resolution that counties can adopt it as they want and put a time frame on it. What prompted Chippewa County to ask for this bill to be brought back is last fall, in October, turned very wet. I couldn't be out in the field. I was out walking with my Labrador one evening out of frustration because I couldn't be taking my crop out. And we have a sizable CRP area a half a mile south of my home. And I was on a township road walking, and the coyotes were in the corn just within proximity of where I was after dark. And if you've been around coyotes and you've been out in the Minnesota River Valley in the fall when the pups are strong enough and start making their presence and start and the moms are starting to train them to be a part of the hunt team. You'll hear them yipping a lot, the pups. You can tell the pups from the mature ones, and they're yipping, 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 and trying to figure out where mom is, where dad is, where's the pack. They're insecure. They're trying to figure out what's going on. Those coyotes were just within rows of me and my dog walking on the township road. I reached into my pocket. I grabbed my cell phone, and all of you know how bright a cell phone can be at when you're in a dark environment. And I walked, waving this, to get back to my house. When I got back to the house, I told my wife, I said, "We do not go out walking after dark. It's just not safe anymore." 15 years ago, we didn't even know what we had never heard a coyote yelp at our farm, on our property, or anywhere in the township. And now, this is the presence of them. The discussion as to harvesting them when the livestock are giving birth, there's cover then, there's grass, there's vegetation. Most of those animals, the coyotes, harvest their prey after dark. You can't sight in rifles safely and discharge firearms after dark. You can't see where you're shooting. You could hurt the domestic livestock. So typically speaking, in the wintertime and when the vegetation is barren and dormant and things are in a dormant state is when it's the safest time to harvest the coyote population.
Okay, Mr. Peterson, identify yourself for the record and go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. My name is Tom Peterson. I represent the Minnesota Farmers Union. And just be very brief, and since we're talking about farms and livestock, I want to say that we strongly support this legislation. And it's kind of interesting. I put out an update to our members, you know, every 2 weeks or so, and some of you get it too. And with all the big issues we have going on, I will tell you that when I put this in my notes, when Representative told me he was going to introduce the bill, this is the thing I got the most comments back from, even from Otter Tail County and from down in southwest Minnesota, and all over. And it's interesting that Commissioner Lopez was saying that, you know, they down southwest Minnesota saying we haven't had this issue as much as we've had in the last, you know, couple of years. And so the really growing population is important. And I also mentioned that Farm Bureau and the Cattlemen Association of Minnesota support the legislation. They couldn't be here today, but they also support it. One other, couple other quick comments were, you know, two is the wolves, you know, growing wolf population, especially up in our area, and, you know, growing just north of here, you know, west of the, kind of complicates the issue with a healthy wolf population and them being on the endangered list again. And, you know, having to work with APHIS and DNR to take care of the wolves has complicated it too, and so really raised the issue. Then again, just urge your consideration as you see it's simply an option for a county. So thank you.
Mr. Chair, could I say one thing? Okay, some of the people in the room that know me, I own an environmental consulting business. My business specializes in writing environmental plans for livestock people. I also am a technical service provider for the NRCS. And my business has a strong clientele in about 10 counties in central, west central Minnesota. Having listened to my clients in business discussion, they've expounded to me over the last number of years. There's sightings of coyotes and the problems that it is causing in their community. Mm-hmm. So this isn't just a Chippewa County or a local area. It is a problem that is recognized in a greater part. And I'm sure if given the opportunity for counties to pass these resolutions, I think that's all that the counties and the farmers and ranchers are asking. Thank you.
Okay, any members? Representative Cornish.
Mr. Chair, I don't see any downside to this legislation at all. I mean, we allow them to do something that they pay for, and that's the best kind of law we can have. But in my area alone, in Blue Earth County, my cousin went out the other day and took five coyotes in one day, and another person took three, and There's people around there that got like 40 of them. They're driving riverbeds and bottoms and things. They're just an explosion of coyotes in our district. And so I don't really know how much the bounty will make a difference, because we have to thread our way through hunters out there. It's so much competition. But I see no harm in it whatsoever, that's for sure.
Okay. Representative Thiessen.
Yeah, can the folks, I mean, is there any downside to this that the agency sees? I mean, aside from the fact that, I mean, just the testament whether it works or not, but that's, again, for the local folks to figure out.
Mr. Chair and Representative Thiessen, I would say, you know, the bounties that were that I referenced earlier that were eliminated in 1965, that was state funds. I assume the source of this would be not state funds, so it's that local option. It's not going to hurt the coyote population to have a bounty on them. They'll do just fine either way if there's a bounty or not. So there isn't a biological concern.
Okay, yeah.
Anyone in the audience testify for or against the bill?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Howard Goldman. I'm the Minnesota State Director for the Humane Society of the United States. We have almost 170,000 members in the state, and I'm testifying against the bill. I'll make my comments short. Bounties don't work. I think Mr. Bogus explained that fully. From what I've read, it would take about a reduction in the population of 2/3 of the coyotes to produce any long-term benefits. Their diet does not consist of sheep and livestock. It consists of very small mammals, although they are opportunistic, and on rare occasions they will take sheep, but that's not their principal source of prey. Just one final comment. In Ron Shera, who we all know, outdoor columnist for the Star Trib, produces Minnesota Bound for Care 11, wrote a column on bounties, which I think is right on target. And needless to say, he's not a member of our organization and never has been. The title of his column was "Coyote Bounties Are Bunk." And he states, "A bounty doesn't guarantee that the coyote killed for money is the same coyote who likes mutton. A bounty payment goes to the same hunter who was hunting coyotes for the sport of it. It would continue coyote hunting if no bounty was offered." County commissioners will need a new four-lane road to handle the traffic as bounty hunters haul coyote carcasses to the courthouse from three states. You want fraud? Establish a bounty. Hired trappers who can nail a guilty coyote is the best control and probably much cheaper than bounties. And for these reasons and the reasons that the DNR cited, we oppose this bill. Thank you.
Well, now, members, I understand why Representative Coonan wants the bill. He's always been after me for a four-lane highway since we got elected. So now we've uncovered the plot for which the bill was created. Representative Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I actually had a question for Mr. Bogus, if you would mind coming back. Mr. Boggs, thank you. My question pertains to, does the department have a position on a distinction between a coyote and what's sometimes called a brush wolf, or is there a distinction made? I mean, oftentimes we hear of the two, but with the whole issue with the federal government dealing with wolf protection, do you see any type of possible ramifications here?
Mr. Chair and Representative Falk, brush wolf is just a kind of a colloquial term for a coyote. Like a timber wolf is the local term for the gray wolf in Minnesota, which is found across the country. So they are, a brush wolf and a coyote are the same species, and they're totally different species than a gray wolf or timber wolf.
And it was suggested to me as an possible amendment to this bill to add the gray wolf into the mix here, but I think we'll leave that one for another day here. that would be as well, equally as popular. So any further, Representative Cornish?
Representative Cohen, one, maybe some advice would be in your bill that you can think about is that we used to have a hard time getting people to trap or kill the coyotes in the animal's birthing time in the spring because the hides weren't worth anything on the coyote. And so there was a state predator. There was two types of bounty systems in Minnesota. It used to be like a $3 bounty on fox, but we also had a predator control program up north for coyotes. And I would open up a certain area by townships, and then I had a state predator control list, and the state would pay him so much a coyote to go in and trap. And that worked really well in the spring or summer because the hides weren't worth anything. You couldn't get anybody to go trap them in the hot weather unless you offered a bounty. And so if you if you had a problem like that with them taking livestock and put them in a certain area and offer a bounty for that, I don't know. Just something to think about.
Mr. Chairman? And Representative Cornish, and I think the bill leaves enough leeway for counties to with the option you just described. So, thank you, Ann.
Anything else on the House File 2811? Okay, we'll lay it over for possible inclusion. Thank you very much, Mr. Bogus. You might as well just thank stay you. Right there because the next bill is going to be all you anyway.
Not sure about that.
You brought somebody else here to talk on this bill. Okay. Easy, you slip through the news easy. And the chair will bring before the committee House File 2955. And that is the bill allows for the driver to have the first priority that hits and kills a deer legally to have first possession of the deer. And Representative Cornish.
You.
Why don't you explain to us why we're even considering this bill?
Mr. Chair and members, there's a couple reasons where there's, first of all, there was a situation up in Kitson County where there was a car deer collision, and where the later on the deer was seized, and I think the meat was given to one person, and the hide and the head had ended up somewhere. It was a kind of a mess, and there was some quasi hints that it might be illegal and didn't know for sure, and so the case was kind of held up where this guy went out without the horns for a long time. And one of the people in the paper made a comment that it would have been more palatable, the whole thing, if the DNR would have had a policy in place just dealing with it on paper, and so, which it didn't seem to have. And so this is bill here, I think, would assist the DNR in their policy making procedure. And then there has also been some stories in the past where not just the DNR, but whether any peace officer, I think, can issue with a local road authority, whether it's a trooper or a deputy or a CO, can order, give it a possession permit out. But the problem is in some instances what we've been hearing is that not that it's stolen, but the meat and the hide is given to the driver or operator, but the horns end up somewhere else because they were a nice set of horns. So I think that, and they could have been sold to another party or given to somebody or whatever, but I think that if a person goes through the traumatic experience of running into a deer and doing a lot of damage to their car, that they should at least have the right to the whole animal. And this bill says that they do unless facts would be presented otherwise. And the DNR, I looked at some language, and they've got some really good language or an idea to tweak it on its way. And so that's the long and the short of it. And then the story about people would, there's some that think that the people are going to go out and run down deer with their car if they know they're going to get the horns. Well, that's virtually almost impossible and very rare that you'd be able to be driving down the road and see a nice buck and you want to sacrifice your car. You'd have to have a kind of a throw car back home that you're going to use for running down deer. So I don't have that worry, and then we'll have to check on the antler's worth and the black market and things like that as it goes on. But I think it's a good bill, and it helps sort things out for the driver, you know.
Mr. Smith.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Rodman Smith, DNR Enforcement Operations Manager for the DNR Enforcement.
What heartache does this bill cause you?
Mr. Chair, members, the bill as written, the spirit of the bill, I guess you could say, we really don't have any issues with. We just would like to have some language put in there to make sure that it is required that there's a possession permit to possess the deer, and also that the some of the language as far as facts at the collision scene, if we could just have in there facts indicate that the deer was not illegally taken, because Mr. Chair, several of the Carkill deer that are issued out to folks, people hit them, they'll bring them home and they'll call at night or the next day, or they'll call and there's not a trooper or a deputy sheriff or conservation officer. They tell them, bring the deer home and we'll issue out a permit. So I think the spirit of what the bill is trying to accomplish is still intact with the language we would propose. Just tweaks it just a little bit.
So if we change the language to reflect that, we could use the same thing for incidentally taken otter and muskrat then? The same language?
Mr. Chair, I don't believe so, no.
I'm trying to be efficient here.
Very efficient.
I represent McNamara.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Is it Major?
Yes, sir.
Major Smith, I'm curious, would we even need the language about the facts of the collision scene indicate the deer was taken illegally? Don't you have the tools, if we believe the deer was taken illegally, that you have the right to possess it? I'm wondering, do we even need any language about that? Don't you currently have the tools, if you believe the deer was taken illegally, to keep it?
Mr. Chair, Representative McNamara, you are correct. All wildlife is owned by the state of Minnesota until somebody acquires it through a license or a permit. So technically, I guess, yes, we wouldn't need to have that language in there, but it doesn't hurt to have it in there, I guess.
Representative McNamara?
No, that's all I had.
Representative Cornish?
Nope.
Nothing? Anyone else? Anyone like to testify for or against the bill? All right. We'll lay the bill over, and I'd suggest that you speak with Mr. Kadelka about some massaging of the language that you need to have in there.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Thank you. All right with you? Okay. All right. That's it, unless we have other business to come before us today. We'll adjourn. Meeting is adjourned.